Welcome to Newborn to Teen and Everything in Between, the podcast from Bespoke Family. I'm Bex.
And I'm Claire. Thanks for joining us as we tackle the ups and downs of life with children, helping you to get the best out of your time together. No rules, no judgment, just guidance. So grab a cuppa and let's get started with today's episode.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Newborn to Teen and Everything in Between. And this episode is all about why your child doesn't listen to you, or why won't my child listen to me? And I kind of feel like this is an ongoing thing. It, for me, I feel like my children have never listened to me. And it's from toddlers all the way through. I feel like trying to get through to children now, it's just because they've got their AirPods in and they can't hear you physically. They can't actually hear you. It might be that they're not listening to you, but it is. There's the distractions now as teenagers of the phones. Although I have to say, I can be a bit distracted sometimes, and someone's talking to me and I say, what you say? What did you mm-hmm. say? I've missed all of that.
Yeah.
And your mind's wandering somewhere else. But yes, I mean, I imagine primarily we're talking about toddlers, are we? Mm. I suppose, but
I wouldn't say so. I think you're probably going right the way through, because
yeah.
at all different stages, you are going to have points where you may have a child who you feel is just not listening. Mm-hmm. And that can happen from toddler right the way through, like you say, to teen. It's different in that it's different for the different age groups and why they might not mm-hmm. be listening and those sorts of things. But yes, I think it is one of the biggest things we get asked about, of just why won't they listen? And I think my first kind of way of looking at it is, what do we mean by truly listening? Because I feel that we're very good at hearing things. So we hear what someone's saying to us and we hear our children. But for us, when do we truly listen? And this was part, it's so strange talking about it now, because it brings back, this was a big lecture that I used to deliver both when I was teaching students, but also when I was teaching corporate clients, is how do you know that you're truly listening to that person? And so when we say our children don't listen to me, are we expecting them to listen to us or basically hear what we're saying? And a lot of what we say is instructional. So what we say is...
That's so true, isn't it? It's not,
it is.
It's not like, yeah, there's not a conversation necessarily.
No, and very often, if you look at it, if you were really to narrow it down of when doesn't your child listen to you, it'll be when you are giving them instructions. Very rarely are you going to say, my child doesn't listen to me when I'm reading a story to them. Because it's a different thing for us. When we are giving someone an instruction or we are passing over information to someone, we expect them to truly listen. At other points, it is about just hearing what we say and everything else. But to truly listen to someone is looking at body language and taking, you know, acknowledging it. Very often repeating back what that person said to you so that that person goes, oh, they really did listen. And so we have to be quite careful when we're talking about our children and listening to us, is when are we expecting this good listening to happen? And is it age appropriate? What is the environment currently looking like for them to be truly listening? Because as you just said, Bex, and which I am so bad at, is someone can be talking to me and I can be distracted, whether it's phone, TV, whether I've got something on my mind, and I can be nodding and I can be giving all the right signals and then I can walk away and go, what on earth did they just say? And what were they telling me? And
the worst thing is when they follow up with a question and they go, so what do you think? And you go, what does he say?
But I've had it happen recently. My dad chats away to me about all different things. And normally when I'm doing stuff and I'm kind of busy and trying to work and everything else, and he's chatting away. And recently I've then stopped and gone, I didn't really listen to him. I heard him talking, but I didn't really listen. And then I kind of feel quite guilty because I'm like, oh, he was just trying to have a conversation and everything else. And you feel so bad because that person's taken that time to kind of say something. And I think that's why when our children don't listen to us, we get so frustrated. Because it's like, just listen. If you listen and then do what I've asked you to do, or do what I need you. Yeah, it's basically do what I need you to do in this moment. Mm. Then I won't be frustrated. And you need to listen to me.
And I find that whenever you give them an instruction, well, I do this and I still do it. And you can actually hear, I mean, Amy's at university now, so I don't necessarily speak to her as much, but I can hear myself. I go, Ben. And you can actually feel him go, oh, what now? You know, because it starts with Ben. Whereas if it was just a conversation or, oh, I meant to tell you this, then it might be. But where you start with Ben, I need you to, or can you put this away? Or you haven't put your stuff in the dishwasher, or don't forget you need to do this, in the same way you would a toddler or any age. Mm-hmm. You start with their name because you want to get their attention, mm-hmm. don't you? But immediately, potentially, that makes them go, oh, do you know what? Not another thing mum's asking me to mm-hmm. do. And it just makes them shut down, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Quite often. And,
but even look at it from if you have a partner. How many times do I, if I'm annoyed, I'm like, James, da, 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 da.
James.
And he's just there going, what now? And I'm like, whatever it could be. You haven't washed the air fryer. Is normally a big one at the moment. And
well, could that be just an, is that kind of a sore point, Claire?
It is. It is quite a sore point because every time we have the conversation about wash it after you used it, seems to not go in. So the listening thing does not just link to your children. It links generally across the board. It can work, go into your work environment. It can be in your with a partner. It can even be with friends. You know, if someone doesn't listen to you and take it in, that then boils up those emotions. And then what typically we find happen is the more you feel you're not listened to, the more you push for being listened to. So you either get louder, you either get clearer. So you start sort of going, did I ask you to put your shoes on? Because obviously saying it like that will make a huge amount of difference because it just builds that inside us. And very often our children just turn around and go, what? Huh? Are you not listening to me? How? It's just the classics of listen to me. And it's the phrase when everyone... It was quite a big phrase at one point and it seems to have tailed off a bit. Are you using your listening ears? Let's turn those listening ears on. No. But the children are just like, mm-hmm, okay. But what you've done is gained eye contact. You've probably come down on their level. You are using their name and short sentences to get your point across. And so very often you've just changed rather than just walking around the house going, right, shoes on, get your shoes on, we're going in a minute, shoes on, and then you come downstairs and they've not moved from where they were because they've heard none of what you've said. It's just like a white noise to them. You're just talking and it might not be to them. And so it is just, it's looking at communication style and looking at how through the day, what does our communication look like and how do we support that with our children, so that we don't become white noise to our children, we actually get heard and potentially listened to a little bit more.
But why aren't they listening in the first place? I know that you're saying it's like white noise, and I know why sometimes particularly teenagers aren't listening, because they're distracted by, I mean, I suppose toddlers and things aren't listening because they're distracted by toys or by games and things, but there must be other reasons. It can't just be because they're engrossed in something. There must be other reasons that they're not listening.
Well, they've got to feel that there's a purpose to listening. There's got to be something. Sometimes it is a case of they don't see that. They're not captured in that moment. So you saying the name at the start of your sentence is a really good way. Because very often when we talk, they don't know it's directed at them. So when you put their name at the front, it can gain their attention. Their focus can be on something else. And so it is, again, looking and being, you know, if they're playing with something specific, when they get older and they're on gaming of some description, they are very focused. And to pull them away from that can take some time. But you've also got other things like hunger and tiredness. You know, I don't listen very well when I'm hungry, and I don't listen very well when I'm really tired. I don't take anything in.
We know that.
Yeah. And so that's that kind of thing. Kind of, how many instructions are you giving? We can, particularly in the mornings when we're trying to get out the door, it can be an instruction after instruction after instruction. And that is because we just need to get out the house. So it might be go and brush your teeth, go and get your coat, you know, all these sorts of things. But they're too many. It's just too much for some children to cope with. So it's breaking it down. Are there other things that you can do in those moments rather than lots and lots of instruction? So it might be having something like visuals rather than having to keep giving instructions. So it might be that you have something up that, particularly for your morning routine, it might be that they have to brush their teeth, get dressed, eat breakfast, put on their shoes, get their bag. And those five things have to be on that visual. And they tick it off, or they, whatever it might be, as they do it. And so all you're doing then is saying, have you looked at your chart? Are you doing the things on your chart? Rather than these massive instructions that you have to keep giving. And again, you're not listening to your own voice continually. I think that's the other thing. When our children don't listen to us, all you can hear is your own voice. It's just that whole, oh my goodness, just listen. And so the other thing that goes alongside kind of the routine side of things is, and the instructions, is that our younger children don't have a concept of time. So if they are not able to tell the time, they don't know that there's a rush to get out the door, or there's a rush to do something, or that you need to have done X, Y, Z before you can do A, B, C. And they just don't have that concept. And so, again, we're working to time, and we know that we have 10 minutes before we have to do X. For our children, 10 minutes could be 2 hours. And so it's, again, breaking that down for them. It's not necessarily that they're not listening. They know they've got to go and brush their teeth and wash their hands or whatever it might be. But do they know that they've got to do it in a certain time? So again, comes back to visuals. Can you have things like sand timers? Okay, we've got 5 minutes before we need to do this. I'm turning the 5 minute timer. When the timer goes off, we need to leave, so that they can see this time. And rather than us going 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, which does help, but again, it could be an hour. 1 minute could be 1 hour to them, particularly our little ones. So
don't have a clue.
No, they don't. And they don't have a sense of needing to rush, because our children are egocentric. Up until really the age, you know, around 7 is when they start to get that other concept of the world doesn't revolve around them. But at this point, why is the rush? You know, soft play's still going to be open when I get there.
Then it...
should be fine.
But then it goes back, you know, like we say about the toddlers and up to age 7, but then it goes back for teenagers, it goes back to that again, mm-hmm. doesn't it? Yep. So they don't really have a concept of time. They don't really have a concept of other stuff is more important than me. They can't really understand urgency or facial expressions. You know, there is all that science behind the fact that all of their synapses, is that right, are pruned again to learn new pathways.
Yep.
So therefore...
mm-hmm. They're going to prune off all the stuff that they don't need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they don't. They do blimmin' well need it. That's... but they kind of have to relearn it as an adult, don't they?
They do. And their bodies are different. They're hormonal. All of, you know, for the older ones, all the hormone side of things, the brain changes, also the pressures. So you start getting into the older children, even in kind of the tween teenage side, you start adding in peer pressure, peer experiences that are not always positive. That can be very distracting. Mm-hmm. That can change kind of how they're going to respond to you and listen to you. School alone can definitely impact on listening skills. You know, if you have a child who has to listen all day long and finds being in the school environment very overstimulating, very challenging, then to come home and be having to listen and follow instruction and all of those sorts of things, again, can really lead to them being quite just shutting down and going, I can't do it. Like, and my home is my place where I can be the most me. And if I, at the moment, can't cope with doing things and listening to things, and then I'm not going to, because this is the one place I don't have to. But that's not for all children. There are some children who can at times choose not to listen. They've heard you exactly. Do you know what the bit I love the most about when people say their children don't listen to them, but yet those children will listen to every conversation that they're not meant to hear? Then their listening skills are so true. Excellent. And on point.
Yeah.
And are able to recite what they've heard at the most inappropriate times, particularly if you've been talking about someone and they're not meant to have heard, and then they recite it back and you go, they can listen because they've just listened to that and been able to.
Yeah. Who is that you were talking about, Mum? Mm.
No one. Yeah, you were. You were saying.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, that is so true. They are, they aren't are. They? Or if you're saying something about them, you like you're talking to your, like if I talk to Rich about them, they're going, what are you saying about mm-hmm. me? Nothing. You were like, no, I was just...
But when you call them...
and like you say, yeah, they can't blimmin' listen to you.
When you've got something important to say to them.
Ben, can you put away your bag? Yeah. Yeah.
2 days later. No.
Completely blank you. I do think that sometimes as well, though, because a toddler, in some ways, they've got their own minds, but they don't have that independence yet. In some ways, there are strategies that you feel do work with mm-hmm. toddlers. But with teenagers, I think it can be a little bit more tricky mm-hmm. because they can, for example... if you kind of push the boundaries a little bit too much with them, they can just walk out, can't they? They can go, right, I'm going. They slam the door. Whereas with a toddler, you can kind of, you've got a bit more room for negotiation with them. You can kind of, and like you say, you know, there are strategies that you can use to kind mm-hmm. of work with it. So in some respects, with a teenager, you need to kind of let them realize that they can trust you, and that you are going to treat them like an adult. And that's where your parenting has to kind of evolve. Mm-hmm. I've learned, to my cost in some respects, because it only takes, you kind of going, oh, perhaps I shouldn't have spoken to them like that, to realise that you've got to grow with your children in the way that you parent them. You can't talk to a 16-year-old the same way you talk to a 3-year-old, even though the same thing. You want them to get their shoes on so you can get them out for school. Mm-hmm. You want them to do exactly the same thing, but you can't say it to them in the same way. It's so weird,
and your communication style has
because
got to change.
A stroppy teenager is different.
Yeah, it's got to evolve and change, and as we evolve and change depending on who we're talking to, there's conversations that you have with different people at different times, and that's what we have to do with our children. So there might be times in those morning, and I would say if you are finding that you are hugely frustrated and your child isn't listening to you, the first thing I do is step back and look at your days. When is it happening? Like, when are you seeing this not listening to you happening the most? Is it at certain points of the day? Is it on certain times?
Whatever age they are.
It could be on certain days. Because actually, is there a certain day at nursery or at school or an activity that you do that just doesn't, it might be sending them off a little bit more? Is it a certain point of the day, and is it because of hunger or tiredness? Is it because you're just having to give so many instruction because maybe the routine needs tweaking? Maybe you need to look at your day and go, we're starting the day off straight away. Sometimes I've kind of worked with families and the child wakes up and the first thing you do as you walk in the bedroom is, right, okay, up you get then, uniform on. It's like, whoa, hold on. That's how I've... And if someone did that to you in a morning, would that start your day how you wanted it to start? And so it's kind of going, do you know
I'd punch their lights out.
I think it's turning around and going, right, is it how we start our day? Is it how we end our day? Is it about how I'm communicating? And sometimes it is about us reflecting on us. So when we are communicating, are we fully focused on them? Are we giving them eye contact? Or are we behind a screen? Or are we busy doing this or busy doing that? And just give me a minute. Because they imitate us. Mm. So if you say, right, I need you to go and do this, and they turn around and say, I'll do it in a minute. How many times in a day do you say to them, yes, I will, but in a minute, I've just got to do this? Because it can't... And naturally, we are going to have to delay, you know, we have to teach our children patience and everything else, but always understand that it could come back to you. So if your child says, yeah, I'll do it in a minute. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine. I'm going to put the timer on for 2 minutes because then I will need you to do it. But you could also turn around and say, you know what? I really need to just do this and this and this. It's going to take me about 5 minutes. I'm going to put the timer on for me. And in 5 minutes, I'll come do this. Because what it does is that mutual, I hear you and I hear that you need something from me. Mm. So I'm going to do it back, because it does become that mutual thing. If constantly we say we're too busy, but then we expect it straight away from them, it's going to be hard for them to know that, you know, feel fairness. Our children have a very strong sense of what is fair. And, you know, I was working with a child the other day and all he kept saying was, it's not fair, it's not fair, it's not fair. And I'm like, right, let's just break this down. What isn't fair? Like, what isn't fair for you? And when we really looked at it, it was that he didn't feel he was listened to. Now, once we actually talked about it, and it's like, I listened to what you're saying, but how would this work? If we did it this way, the way you want to do it, what would happen in this and this and this situation? And he's like, it's not going to work. Okay. He's like, well, that makes sense now. That's fine. But it's that listening to, rather than it become an argument or a frustration, it's breaking it down. What is in their head versus yours? And that's typically where we clash. Mm. because what we expect and what they expect don't always match. So it's bringing those two things together where we can.
And that's where similarities lie with all ages of children, is that it can't be a carte blanche because I said so, can it? You know, that when the question is why, you know, the old fashioned because I said so, because it's time, because we need to, you know, like a there's no explanation there. You need to put in some explanation as to why that thing needs to be done so that they understand. And then next time they can see why they want to. But equally, if you start to potentially have a if you start to have a conversation, they can say, well, I don't want to because I'm playing this game. I need, like you say, I need to have a couple of minutes. And so, okay, that's fine. We'll do the timer thing. So then it becomes a proper conversation between two people rather than escalating. Because, I mean, I have to say, I'm saying all this and it's just like I look back and all I used to do is shout at them and say, you need to do this now, you need to do that now. And they would just stamp their feet and go, we don't want to. Or they just would ignore me because of those things, you know. And I would overload them with instructions. I'd do all the things that you have just said not to do. but
it's not so much to not to do it, because it's human nature, but it's sometimes going, we are leading such busy lives and we can feel the sense of overwhelm of, I need to get them here, then I need to get to this, then I need to have done this. And that is more about what we're going through and what society and environment is like for us, that we then put onto our children. And so they pick up on this angst around, oh, why, you know, and we hit our fight, flight, freeze. And so they might turn around and go, I'm just not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit here and play because I don't like this feeling. I don't like the feeling that it's not very, you know, relaxed and it's not very happy, or we're not laughing and joking. Because they will pick up on that. So they're going to go into what they feel most comfortable with. And the other thing we have to bear in mind is that our children are growing in their independence. They're growing in who they are. And the best thing that they can do is say no. Or see what the reaction is. So it's the cause and effect. What happens if I do this? So if I don't listen, what happens? Mm-hmm. What if I don't put my shoes on? What if I don't brush my teeth? They're not consciously thinking that. They are subconsciously thinking that. It's testing out their world, the world that continually changes for them. They go from not being able to do anything and fully reliant on us to suddenly they become these walking, talking little human beings who go, I'm just going to see what happens when I say no, or when I don't, you know, I'm just going to carry on playing because I don't want to go and put my shoes on because I don't want to go to the supermarket. What happens? Let's see. And it is all about learning. It is a learning opportunity for them all.
Let's have that instance just to kind of finish up. And I'm going to give you a positive on a nearly 19-year-old positive at the end. But if let's say, okay, so you've got a toddler, you've said to them, whatever the name is, Johnny, I need you to put your shoes on. We're going to the supermarket. They go, no. They turn around and they carry on playing. And you go, I really need you to put your shoes on. We're going, come on, let's go. No. What do you do? Like, what would you do in that situation?
You might want to do some work prior to that situation. So depending on what's happening, so you kind of might want to bring in at the beginning of the day talking about what we're going to do all day. So what's our plans for the day? We're going to get up, we're going to have breakfast, then you're going to have a play if you want to, then you're going to put on your shoes, and then we've got to go to the supermarket. And hopefully you might be able to help me. Should we write a list of what you can find me in the supermarket? Then we're going to come home and you can play again. And so you just talk it through. You talk through the day and then you start with your now and next. So now we're going to have our breakfast and next you can have a play. Once they're playing, okay, now you're playing, but next you're going to have to put your shoes on because we're going to the supermarket and we've got your list. So we're going to see what we're going to get off your list, aren't we? And you are guiding them through that day. So if, for example, you go, you're playing now, next you're going to put your shoes on and then we're going to the supermarket. You then get to the putting the shoes on. You may have put the timer on saying, okay, we have 5 minutes until we have to put shoes on. Then you get to the end of the 5 minutes. Oh, 5 minutes is up. Okay, it's time for shoes and then we're going to go to the supermarket. I don't want to. I want to stay and play. And that's when this is where it kind of comes into, I hear you. You're having so much fun playing, aren't you? It's a really good game. And going to the supermarket doesn't sound so much fun. But we haven't got any food, or we need to go and pick up these things. They're on your list. And we need to go and do it this morning because, no, I don't want to. Okay, I really hear you. I hear that you don't want to go. What can we do? We've got to go and we've got to put our shoes on. So shall we set our toys up ready for when we come home? And then when we come home, would you, you know, shall I play with you for 10, 15 minutes? What should we play? Let's get it ready before we leave. Now, all of this takes a bit more time and feels quite laborious when you're like, just put your shoes on and we've got to go to the supermarket. But them having a full meltdown is going to take you longer than the pre-lead up to it. So it's
taking a child that's kicking off to the supermarket with you and all round the supermarket, couldn't it?
Yeah. And it could be an absolute disaster. So it is going, looking at any other distraction techniques. So it might be, okay, when we're in the car, do you think you can find all the red cards? You need to tell me when you find all the red cards. And again, this is age dependent. We're talking toddler, you know, preschool age group here. And it's that kind of thing. And so that you're moving them on. But it's some children will need a little bit longer for these transitions. So you can't just go from playing to in the car. It's just, for some children, it's just too much. They need that lead into it. So giving them a little bit more time to transition can definitely help with them listening more. But making it fun. Again, when they have to listen and it's not very inviting for them to listen, you know, how much do you listen when you think it's like some gossip or something that's a bit more interesting, or you might get something out of it, so you're like, oh, I'm gonna listen so much but harder to something that sounds really boring and like, oh, yeah, I just gotta do this. There are going to be times that you have to do that, but the more you can make things fun, the more they're likely to listen. And then they're also more likely to listen to the stuff that is the bit more boring, if things are made to be fun. True. And I'm not saying that this is going to have to be all the time, but sometimes our children go through phases where you really notice that they're struggling to listen. And so then you have to bring out the big guns and start with all the different techniques to try and... incentivize them back into listening.
Like you say, sometimes the not listening comes from kind of a full-on preparation of like stuff that happened at breakfast time can impact on stuff that happens at tea time, which is just weird, but kind of is.
But how busy are we? You know, are we overloading them? Are we trying to do too much? Sometimes I look at people's schedules for like after school or at weekends and you're like, how you're doing so much, whereas is that just putting pressure on everyone? Do you just need time at home where they can play? For some people, they will say they're climbing the walls, and it's like, yes, they are, but they're climbing their walls because they're continually entertained. If our children never experience boredom...
So, you know, you were saying about how cause and effect and how people... they see that they say something and then they see how people react and then they kind of carry on and do something. I find now that if I am stressed about something or if I need to get something done, Amy now will help me or will say the right thing always now, because she knows that my response will be gratitude. You know, it, she will show empathy because she's now learned that if she says a certain thing in a certain way, that's the response that she will get. And, you know, that's obviously through time spent realizing that if she reacts to something in a certain way, that's the response she'll get. And, you know, that makes you feel proud that that's kind of the thing that she does. But it's, that's what we're doing, isn't it? That's what we're teaching them to do, it, ultimately, isn't it? That's what we want them to do. So, yeah, anyway, there's my little positive story, because there's a lot of time spent telling them to get their shoes on to get to that stage, I have to
there
say.
There is. And, you know, one of my first ever nanny family, well, they were my first ever nanny family, had four, newborn twins, 2-year-old and a 5-year-old. And they are now all in their mid-20s, early 30s. I know, I don't look old enough. And the other day, we were at a funeral for their grandparent, and the four of them are there chatting away, engaging with all these different, you know, they were older people, young people, all those sorts of things. And we're all stood there and I'm watching them, and they're engaging, they're talking, they're listening. And then they started talking about all their memories of being children and what they remember when I was looking after them and they used to come to my house and all those sorts of things and what they remembered. But they're all very articulate to being very empathetic, very kind of their conversation and their ability to listen and engage back. So we spent a lot of time talking to them about how do they feel, what they, you know, all those sorts of things. And now it's come back, and you can see that, how are you? What's going on for you? And I think that's when you go, do you know what? There were times when none of those four listened. There were times where I honestly thought, oh, you know, what are we going to do? We had twins who were toddlers. How old was he? He would have been five, and then one that was seven. And you just go, it was a lot. Mm. But those phases pass, and then you realise that the work you put in at this stage really does pay off. And I think the more you communicate and the more you connect before you have to kind of give instruction, absolutely works. Mm-hmm. And it is that old, you know, connect before you redirect. And that is the same for whether it's children, adults. It is, if you connect with someone before you have to give them instruction or direct them to do something, then, but instantly giving someone instruction after instruction after instruction, they are not going to respond how you want them to.
No.
And it won't, it's not going to be a two-way respectful process. There is light at the end of the tunnel. If you're in the thick of it right now.
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah. It is very true. It isn't easy, but it's baby steps, and it definitely does get easier. Even just changing tiny little things makes a massive difference. So we hope that you found that helpful, and we will see you next time. Thanks for listening.
That's everything for today. Thanks for listening. If there's something you'd like us to talk about, we'd love you to get in touch and let us know. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Bespoke Family, or head to our website. The links are in our show notes.
Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss the next episode, and please give us a rating or review if you like what you hear. We're Bex and Claire, and we'll be back soon with another episode of Newborn to Teen and everything in between. See you then.